This is the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Welcome, Arizona Cardinals fans, to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site for your Arizona Cardinals. My co-host, as always, is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. And tonight's episode 226 was supposed to be just our first round mock draft. We're still doing it. However, some troubling news from Cardinals camp come out with Patrick Peterson making some noise again, and we got to talk about it. So before we get to the mock draft, which we'll talk the heck out of the Cardinals pick at number one, if in fact they stay at number one. And then we're going to go through the entire first round. We've even this year, I think is the first year we've included trades. And we're going to try and do it. And then we'll see actually how this turns out later in the week when the actual draft happens. Unfortunately, we have to start with Patrick Peterson, who apparently is unhappy for some reason. And he made some cryptic posts on Instagram. He kind of wiped his social media from all the Cardinal stuff. He says, one of the posts on Instagram, I see where we stand. There was some lyrics from a Drake song. Wow. But he says, then he talks about, shows a picture of former teammates that have all left the team, walks out for the snake in the grass, things like that. And now he does not report for, albeit voluntary, veteran minicamp. And he's unhappy about something. But what was your reaction when you first ran across this news? Because people were scrambling. Honestly, fans were asking about it, and no one who covers the Cardinals had any idea at all, because it was so, you didn't know, it felt like it was purposeful, but you didn't know for sure. Like, it was almost like, if for Phoenix Suns fans, when Eric Bledsoe says, I want out of here, and he was at the hair salon, and everyone felt there was something more to it, and there was. This kind of felt like it, but there was no one who knew anything.
Yeah, and people started to dig, and they said, he's talking about his mom who got bumped off a flight on Southwest, and he's upset about that. And then people were like, no, that was like 5 days ago or something like that. So, right. So the whole thing just screams dysfunction, right? there's nothing else that it really tells you at this point. It feels dysfunctional, unfortunately, and it makes you wonder kind of what's going on behind the scenes, like what could be causing Patrick Peterson, the Arizona Cardinals' best player probably, or one of their two or three best players on the team, to be this unhappy again. And we all felt like we moved past it, that this was, that this was over and done with, and that the Cardinals were, the fences were mended, and, Cliff Kingsbury and he were on the same page and whatnot. And then the reports are coming out, it has nothing to do with scheme. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with, contract or what they may do in the draft. And so it's like, okay, well, what on earth makes somebody this upset? But it has nothing to do with anything that you would assume it has to do with, right?
Right. And so, yeah, Kent Summer says that a source close to Patrick says that someone in management said something that pissed him off, and it's not a big deal yet. Weird. Josh Weinfuss said it has to do that he was disappointed with decisions made by the front office. John Gambadoro on Arizona Sports is the one that says it's not about the contract. It's not about football. It's not about scheme. It appears to be something personal. Unless there was some comment made or me, like, because of, like, that sort of thing is if it's related to his family, related to something like that, maybe when he went very public of his criticism of Southwest Air for what happened with his mom, maybe the team did something or did not do something to help with the situation and that offended him. Because this feels like something, like, if it's not really about a contract, and I'll be honest, ever since the trade request back at midseason, I've thought that while maybe not at the surface, but it was a cover for his pulling what we've seen other players do. It was actually looking for a contract extension because he's done with this guaranteed money. And so I've always felt that perhaps underneath it all, when he changed course really quickly after the trade request and he was back on board, that when things were assured, that perhaps that meant he was going to get a contract extension this offseason. And then this, if it were related to contract before, they're now backing away from that, saying, hey, we don't have the money or this or that. You still got 2 years. We'll take care of you next year. And that really, that would make sense at least as to why this would happen. But if it's not about that, there's honestly no reason in the world. I mean, we were on a Twitter direct message thread of you and I and a couple other people. And, you know, well, he talked about winning. So does he know that they're going to draft Kyler Murray and they're upset about that because they're going to start over? Or it's led to all sorts of speculation, but all we know is that we really don't know anything other than the fact that he's upset at the organization and has wiped the organization from social media posts.
Unless it's about when he was playing with his friends. So, I mean, and that is truly the hard part. Like, what is going on? What could be said or done that upset somebody that much over, you know, something so innocuous, it seems like, to us? I'm obviously, that's what the whole thing is. Like, it has to be something pretty bad, right, to be bad enough to go on a public rant against the team that you're playing for in this situation, especially knowing how bad last year was and that that this team really needs all their leaders to kind of be on the same page right now, that they can't afford to have this dissension, because this is another, you know, new head coach. This is another chance, you know, to start over. And it seems like a bad omen to come for the start of a new era in Arizona Cardinals football. And that's a really frustrating part of it, because you look at what they did this offseason and it felt like the focus and the understanding was we've got to fix the defense through free agency so we can really focus on the offense and the draft and getting Cliff Kingsbury the right tools to run the offense he wants to run in the NFL. And so now all of a sudden, and you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to trade him or anything like that, but if he's, you know, if he's unhappy, if he's wanting to move on or expects to be moved in the year or so, then that just creates another gigantic hole that has to be filled. And it's not one, I mean, they've barely been able to fill the cornerback two position, and now all of a sudden you've got to replace, you know, what is maybe the best cornerback in your team's history, if not one of the top three.
I mean, right, and on top of that, the guy that they signed is Patrick's buddy.
Right. So, and that's kind of my point. Like, yeah, they went out and got Robert Alford on Peterson's recruitment tip and then trying and things. I don't know. So it's tough. Like, it really is, and it's unfortunate at this point.
And it in terms of speculation, what I could say, maybe this is a scenario, there's someone in the organization that said something that offended him, and this is his power play to say that guy needs to go, or rather that he's not upset about what someone said. He's upset at what happened when the team was approached with whatever situation, and that person in the organization is still there, or they backed him or her rather than backing Peterson or something. Who knows? But it's just the timing, though, and it was mentioned on the air on the radio waves earlier today, is that when these outbursts, these little tantrums, these news of Patrick Peterson's unhappiness come very strategically. It was right before the trade deadline, and now right before the draft. I mean, the two most likely times you would see a player move, like he's trying to get traded, even though the rumor that was out there that the Cardinals were shopping and the Cardinals weren't shopping him, like the idea of Patrick to the Chiefs was a thing that was on Twitter for a little bit, especially with Antonio Bryant, a former NFL player who appears to be trying to break news about the Cardinals. And then it's the Chiefs were making a deal for Frank Clark, because the Cardinals were not going to be making a trade with the Chiefs for Patrick Peterson if they're trading their first round pick to the Seahawks for Frank Clark. That doesn't make any sense at all. So the whole idea of a trade didn't make sense unless there was actually a trade going on. And I don't know. I mean, at this point, it would be stupid to trade him still, because, but we've talked, we hashed this out when he made the first trade request. It makes no sense at all to trade Peterson, because he's on a, in terms of quality, in terms of finances and everything, because he's on a good, I mean, well, he's highly paid. He's on a good cornerback contract, and he's playing at the top of the game. And what in the world are you going to do unless you knew you were going, you've got a Greedy Williams or a Byron Murphy or a DeAndre Baker that you've got in your hip pocket, which with the Patrick, with the draft picks that they have at the top of the second, I mean, if you've got a mid first round pick, yeah, but they have the top pick. They're not going to pick one of those guys, and those guys won't be available at the top of the second.
Exactly. And that makes it, you know, difficult for them to make a decision on what they're going to do. And, you know, it is just, it just continues to be a frustration for Cardinals fans, and something that, you know, you wish that they could overcome and fight through. And, but right now it just hasn't worked out. And, you know, hopefully this team, starting on Thursday, kind of gets going back in the right direction, or, you know, with the hire of Kliff Kingsbury, they already are back in the right direction type of thing. Because you don't really want you really don't want this to hang over the franchise for too long.
Right. Now, how do you see this ending? Do you see this kind of blowing over and things end up getting back to normal, at least until next off season, or is this going to be something that we're going to have Peterson issues arising from time to time? For me, if that continues, I mean, I don't think Peterson will get voted a captain at this point. It would be weird if he were.
So, I mean, I reached out to every contact I have, and the overwhelming response was they're not trying to trade him. So I just think this is a situation where you look at it and they, you know, they've told him something that he feels like has not been honored. And so if they find a way to honor that, then it's done and over. If they don't, well, then, you know, they're going to have to do something, but I don't think that they're going to trade him at this point.
Well, but honestly, let's hope not. Now, let's get back. So coming up next on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, we're going to talk about our mock draft. It is time to mock the first round. It's the only, I personally don't do mock drafts except for this show. It's way too hard. Let's be honest. It's way too hard. I don't know how people do it week after week and play with scenarios. That's too many teams to think about and their needs and the players and stuff like that. Way too hard. Coming up next, we're going to talk about first the Cardinals pick at the top of the draft if we think that they're going to be at the top of the draft. That's coming next on Rise Up C-Red. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. And it's time to start our mock draft. And luckily, we don't have to like kind of burn through a few picks to get to our pick. Like last year, we talked about, okay, who's going to be there at number 15 the year before. We actually, before the aside from last year, because with the trade for Josh Rosen, we nailed the picks the previous 2 years of Hassan Reddick and Robert Kimdichie. We'll see if we can get back on track with this. We both have two different picks that we have. We both started the same, and then there was some information. As information's come out, I changed mine. So Cardinals pick at number one. First of all, do the Cardinals keep the pick, Seth, in your scenario?
They do. I think that they have wanted to, if they couldn't, you know, get a deal in place for Josh Rosen, I think they've wanted to move down. And now I think people are calling their bluff and saying, I don't believe you. So I think that they're kind of in a corner now of what they're going to do. And it's going to change how the draft goes in some ways.
Okay. Reveal your pick for the Cardinals and what's your basis, what's your thinking behind that and how it plays out.
So I stuck with, we talked about it quite a bit, both of us, and I went back and forth and you went back and forth, and I ended up sticking with the heavy favorite. I think he's 4-1 odds right now, or no, sorry, 2-5 odds in Vegas right now. So, and that's Kyler Murray to be the first pick in the draft. I think this is what they end up doing. It's one of those situations where I think that there were accurate reports at the time of what they expected to do, and then some things changed or possibly changed based on information that was gathered later. And you know, that is why I think this isn't a slam dunk. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go Murray. I think that they're still going to go Murray. I think they're still going to pick Murray and take him to kind of be the guy that goes with Cliff Kingsbury, and they're going to either fly or flop together. And, you know, obviously the only thing that we hope for is that they fly. And quite honestly, I think you and I are both in agreement. We really have no horse in the race. We just want to see this organization be successful again and be a team that competes consistently every year.
Absolutely. And so Kyler obviously is by far, I think, the favorite. Now, with you saying that the Cardinals take Murray, you have to assume that they're trading Josh Rosen. In this case, what do you think they will get? Will they get a first-round pick, and therefore will you be picking again for the Cardinals later in the round?
No, I think they're going to end up getting a second-round pick. I think one of the teams that ends up giving up a second-round pick is going to be either the Washington Redskins or the Miami Dolphins. I think that they'll give up a second-round pick. So I think they pick actually 45 and 46. So it'll be kind of like right near each other. And then they'll also give up a 2020 pick that has some attachments to it. So it could be a fourth rounder that goes to a third or to a second, or a third rounder that goes to a second based upon what kind of happens with Rosen in his first year with that organization.
Okay. Now, I did not go with Murray. I went with Murray up until today. So I put my whole first round together yesterday, and then I balked because of there's some stuff that keeps coming up recently. There's no real reports, but there's just little things that keep making me doubt. So I go back to the visit with Kyler. So his agent was not at the visit. Clearly, no. Of course, everyone's denying that. But he was at dinner. Agent comes and talks with the team about a contract. So you had to know they were talking contracts. So Kyler was definitely a possibility. We know that there's the baseball. You have to figure the Cardinals had a no baseball clause in there. Then after he leaves, then there's this visit with the Giants, and then there's a scheduled visit with the Redskins. So it really made you doubt whether he was on board, whether the Cardinals were really on board with Kyler, or maybe, as we kind of suspected, if they talked contract and if they talked no baseball clause, maybe Murray was unwilling, or his agent or his father said that no, he's unwilling to sign that deal, which would make the Cardinals, you know, cool on him. There's information that you've gotten, and the fact that a couple of local beat writers have kind of projected Quinnen Williams is really the guy that Steve Keim is trying to convince the people. Ultimately, is his pick, but it seems he's stumping for Quinnen Williams. Billy Davis is in the room. He's stumping for Nick Bosa. And so it seems more when you know, Daniel Jeremiah said 90% certain to 60%. I'm down to 50-50. I'm down to 50-50. And instead of Murray, I say a combination of the contract issue and, well, two, Cliff Kingsbury getting to work with Josh Rosen and getting his sort of trial run. So now we can believe in him. And the fact that maybe that's the Cardinals just didn't get an offer that they were blown away for Rosen. And so they've already got this quarterback in the building who's doing all the right things that they really believed in. And now Cliff Kingsbury has gotten a chance to work with him and has been won over a little bit, maybe not completely. Because for Cliff Kingsbury, I'm going to say that Kyler Murray is that one girl, the girl he fell in love with, but ultimately he spurned him for another guy, but he's never gotten over her. And so there's these lingering feelings. And this is because Kyler, we've talked about the fact that Kingsbury has a relationship with Kyler dating back to like his freshman year in high school. So we're talking 5-7 years that he's been actively trying to get him to be on his team. And then when he wasn't on his team, he saw the success he had and saw how he flourished. And so you get the whole, this girl just, you know, could have been all the amazing things we could have been. And now he's got a chance to go for Kyler again. And so clearly he can't get over that. But there's this quarterback in the building, and he's gushing about him as well. He's just not Kyler. And I think ultimately they decide whether, for whatever reason, they don't deal Rosen. They are going to go with the game plan that they've had, which is build around him, build that defense, and they take Nick Bosa first overall. Not Quinnen Williams. We're going to go with Nick Bosa, best pass rusher, perhaps the best player in the draft, an alpha male to add to that defense, giving you now two great pass rushers in Chandler Jones and Nick Bosa, who will be great, and Terrell Suggs, who has been great, and he gets to learn from Chandler. He gets to learn from Suggs, because the concerns people have about the Bosa family and some of the drama there might be, the political stuff I'm not really concerned about, because you get all sorts of political backgrounds in every locker room. But, you know, that drama, he comes in as a hot shot, but he's going to have someone like Terrell Suggs to kind of put him in his place, like he had Ed Reed and Ray Lewis when he came in to the league, to kind of put him in his place. Instead of a hot shot, he had to work his way in. I like this pick, and so Bosa goes number one for me, and you get Murray first overall. Both scenarios could be good, and yeah. I could see Murray to being a different possibility, and I'm with you that if they do go with Murray, I don't think they get a first for Rosen, which is a blow in my opinion. If they get Murray and a first round pick for Rosen, they can win the draft with Murray and a second. Even if there's another pick next year, that's only kind of . The other way that I think they can win the draft is if they can trade out down to, say, the Raider spot at four and still land Murray, Bosa, or Quinnen Williams. And then you pick up the other draft picks. I think that's a win as well. But since that's a hard thing to count on, I'm okay with either scenario.
Yeah, and that's what you kind of want, is you want to be able to – walk away and feel like you've got you're heading in the right direction. And that's the hard part, you know, with this whole thing. And it's one of the things I've said from the beginning. I don't really like, you and I have our preferences. We do every single year. We have our preferences on who we want them to draft, how we want them to go about the draft, yada, yada, yada. How often it happens is what would you say? Zero.
I will say I wanted Kim Dichi bad. and we got him and then he hasn't been great.
Right. And so like you look at things and you agree with them or you write about them and things of that nature. And, you know, I was never really on board with Hassan Reddick. Like I just was afraid of the pick and things of that nature. And, you know, Josh Rosen, I was sure I'm happy they got him, but my QB1 was sitting on the board and, you know, so you just look at different things, but so what you want them to do is you want them to walk out of the draft and feel like, all right, we won this. And so the biggest thing for me, the thing that I've taken from this is that they, you know, if they want Kyler Murray, if they're saying Kyler Murray is our best, you know, the best player in this draft on our board, then draft him. Right. Like, and deal with the Josh Rosen thing later. If you're saying, look, Kyler Murray's the best player on our board, but he's not so overwhelmingly better than a guy like Quinnen Williams, who's our number two player on the board, then go get Quinnen. Just take Quinnen at one. Don't try to get cute. Don't try to trade down and see if you can get your guy. And that's kind of what my concern is with the trade down is, you know, I'm worried that the Cardinals are going to move down to four or down to six, and then they're going to miss out on their top guys. And then they're going to have to settle like they have in the past. And we've kind of seen how that worked out. Like there's flashes, there's, you know, there's instances of success, but there's never that, like, there's never that home run. There's never that we got our guy. Like, we're on it. Like, you know, all the rumors were that they really wanted Deion Jordan. Obviously, that was a good thing that they didn't get Deion Jordan since apparently he had some off-the-field issues. But, you know, they stuck with Jonathan Cooper. That didn't work out either. You know, in 2014, they wanted Ryan Shazier. And Blake Bortles, you know, one of those would have worked out. And obviously Shazier was a near all pro before his injury. That's a different story. You know, 2015, they talked about that they got the guy they wanted in DJ Humphries. And you know, maybe they did. And that just didn't work out the way they were hoping it would work out.
But even then there were whispers that it was Bud Dupree or even Shane Ray that they wanted.
Right. And then in 2016, you know, they got a falling Robert Kimdiche.
They really wanted Paxton Lynch.
And yeah, exactly. And so, and then in 17, you know, they talked about they wanted Mahomes or Watson or, you know, and so that's where my struggle comes in is like, for so many seasons in a row, you've settled for the next guy. And maybe, you know, and I think, I mean, I'm not going to say Rosen was their QB4. I've seen that reported. I don't know. But I think we can safely say he was their QB3. Like, they wanted Baker Mayfield. They were in love with Baker Mayfield. And everybody you and I have talked to has told us that they were absolutely in love with Josh Allen. Now that's not to say that they didn't like Josh Rosen, but their top two QBs were other guys. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you know, they made a trade in terms of value that they like, but maybe they didn't go get their top guy. And so that's been my only argument against trading down this entire time is like, you've never truly gotten your guy. Like you've always had to take, you know, the next guy down or, you know, a guy 5, 6, 7, 10 guys down based on your board. And then this year you have the pick. Like, you don't have to settle. You don't have to do anything else. Like, you can literally just, if you say like, hey, Quinnen Williams is the best player in this draft, then just draft Quinnen Williams. Like, that's the struggle I have with the whole trade down thing. So whether or not I agree with the pick, if they make the selection at one, you have to feel like they got their guy, right? Like they're not going to settle for somebody else.
We've made our picks. We've gave our explanations for the top pick. How does the rest of the first round play out? Coming up next on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk. We'll talk about the next picks in the draft, numbers 2 through 10. That's coming up next on Rise Up C-Red. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast. So the Cardinals have their guy. For Seth, that's Kyler Murray. For me, that's Nick Bosa. How does the rest of the how do the next 9 picks play out? As I look at, we actually have our kind of put up, so we know what each other's picks are. Aside from this next pick, picks 2 through 10, only 2 are the same. What's your surprise at number 2?
My surprise at 2 is that the 49ers pass on Nick Bosa. I think that everybody has assumed that that's who they want, that that's who they will take. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think that no player has helped himself more in the interview process than Quinnen Williams, and him being an engaging guy who wants, you know, who wants to be the leader of a defense, who wants to be the guy that you build your defense around. And that has, you know, endeared him to a number of teams. And I think that team includes the San Francisco 49ers at 2.
And well, you've got Quinnen Williams number 2, but I have Quinnen Williams for number 2 for a different reason. That's because Bosa's not available. I would have, in fact, on my first draft, when I had Kyler going number 1, I had Bosa going number 2, but with Bosa off the board, let's go with the next best player in the draft, that being Quinnen Williams. It's interesting. And the fact that you're starting to hear kind of chatter where the Cardinals might consider him first overall just tell you how impressive he's been. Someone who happened to be in an interview said his interview, his story is moving, and that his work on the whiteboard was impressive. And sure, there was only the one big year of production, but you combine that with the background, the passion for the game, and then on top of that, the smarts, which are all things that the Cardinals and Steve Keim in particular fall in love with, because they've got to have be productive, they've got to be athletic, but they've also got to have a passion for the game, he always says, and they've got to be able to process information. If Quinnen Williams has all that, that's going to be good. Which this kind of plays out interesting, because for you now, you remember how Joey Bosa surprisingly fell in the draft. It might be happening in your draft now, playing kind of repeating history, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, something that we could see, and we know the Jets. The Jets, I believe, were the team that cut out Bosa, right? That said, oh, don't come out.
Right.
So that's why I have the Jets passing on Nick Bosa, because, could they take him? Absolutely, 100%. He would be a nail of a pick for them. But they told him not to come out. So
clearly he's now here. Here's the thing. We both have trades. We both have trades, and this is where I have 3 trade-ups in the first round happening for quarterbacks, and my explanation for that is when we look at the last, I think it's the last 10 quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round, with the exception that they've all either been drafted by the team who possessed the top pick overall or a team who traded up to acquire him. So I used that, and that's what thinks is going to happen. We both have a trade. We both have different teams. My pick at number 3 is not the Jets. I have, with Kyler Murray not being taken first overall, that the Miami Dolphins, the team that everyone thinks is tanking for Tua next year, trades up from the 13th pick to number 3, and selects Kyler Murray. I'm not going to deal with what the trade was. I'm just going to say they moved up, and that bumps the Jets down to number 13 overall. What team do you have trading up, and who's the first quarterback? Who becomes the next quarterback off your board?
So the Jets trade down to six. They get six, and I think it's 36, but I can't remember off the top of my head what second round pick the Giants have. So the Giants trade up from six, and they're able to take Dwayne Haskins. So they've done, nobody's done more work on Haskins. Nobody spent more time with Haskins. And then the thing that kind of sealed it for me that Haskins is going to be the guy in New York is that dinner with Eli. I thought that was a big deal. Maybe I'm wrong, obviously. Like, I mean, it's a mock draft. There's a really good chance I'm wrong. But Eli and Haskins going out for dinner, sitting down, kind of getting to know each other, like that, I think that speaks volumes to what they're trying to do and making sure that they get the right guy.
And so now we've got our first trade in the draft. The Dolphins get Kyler Murray. The Giants get Dwayne Haskins. I've got another trade coming up soon. That brings us to the Raiders. For me, I think this is a no-brainer. They want to look defense. They want to look defense. And so we're going to say Josh Allen. And so they did get Bosa, but now they get their player. They get that edge rusher, that pass rusher on the cheaper than the Khalil Mack. And I think that works out perfectly for the Raiders, although I think it works out even better for your Raiders pick.
Yeah, and I have them the fall, so to speak, of Nick Bosa stopping here. Bosa to the Raiders. I think it's a great fit. It's something that makes sense. And allegedly, you know, Gruden's obsessed with two guys, and that's Nick Bosa and Kyler Murray. So he gets one of his two there.
Okay, number six. Number five now, the Bucks. So Bruce Arians, Jason Light, Todd Bowles, who is your pick for the Bucks at number five?
I think they're going to surprise people, or maybe not surprise people, and take Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU. I think it's a surprise in that, I mean, that's a really high spot to pick a inside linebacker, but
hey, Arians has been doing it for years,
right? I think rebuilding that defense, replacing Quan Alexander, this would be the spot. If my pick at two is wrong and Nick Bosa is the pick and you kind of fall, and so then you see Bosa and maybe, you know, the Jets trade out, and then the Raiders take like an Allen. This would be the spot for Quinnen Williams' fall to end if Williams was to fall. I just don't think he will.
And I like that pick, although it does Devin White coming in to pair with Lavonte David would be really, really unfortunately funny for Dale Buchanan, who signed with the Bucks. I think he believes he will get playing time there. But if Devin White's not going to come off the field, is he? And Lavonte David's not really going to come off the field either. So,
right. So, and that's why they're not paying him much anyway. So,
well, and I have the next trade happening. And here is the Giants are sitting at number six. And this is where the Denver Broncos, John Elway, feels the pressure to get a quarterback. They have a quarterback they really like, but they are a little bit worried. So they leapfrog the New York Giants, swap picks with the Bucks. So they move up to number five. The Bucks move down to number 10. And even though it seems like the whole world is on board for Dwayne Haskins and the Giants, the Broncos are afraid they're going to lose Drew Lock. John Elway has reportedly been in love with Lock for quite some time, and they get their guy, Drew Lock. He's going to be the heir apparent for Joe Flacco. Lock has got a big arm. He's got a big personality. That could work out there. Whether it will, that's another story, because who knows? Missouri quarterbacks don't have, you know, a great track record. but that's my second trade up. The Broncos take Drew Lock. He's off the board now with the fifth pick. We've got now two quarterbacks coming off the board in the first five. two came off in the first three in the case for Seth. For me, when we get to the Giants now, and I believe what I'm going to kind of believe some of the reports that there are that the Giants don't necessarily want to use a quarterback with the sixth pick. As we know, Dave Gettleman is not a big fan of trading picks. And so as Devin White becomes available, they get that big defensive leader in the middle of the defense to kind of help things out. And so Devin White goes to number six for me. Who's your pick for the Giants? Well, yes, it's not the Jets now.
The Jets move down and they take Josh Allen there, and they kind of get their guy that they can put in the Anthony Barr role that they wanted to sign Anthony Barr for, that they had an agreement with Anthony Barr on that is he then backed out of. So I think they finally get their Anthony Barr in an Anthony Barr type clone.
So does now in the case of Josh Allen, will he play off the ball or will he play on the edge?
That's kind of what Greg Williams wanted to do with him was be able to do both.
Okay.
So that's why they wanted Barr, because Barr can do both so well. So I think they'll do that instead with Josh Allen.
Okay. Number seven with the Jags. What's the plan there? We both have offensive linemen. After all, they did go pay Nick Foles a whole lot of money. Who's your pick for the Jags on the offensive line?
I'm taking Jonah Williams. I still think he's the best offensive lineman in the class. And I think that because the Jags don't necessarily need a left tackle, they're going to take a guy that can play guard or right tackle in Jonah Williams, as opposed to a tackle only type guy. Although I have him the same guy you're going to take next. So it's not like there's that much of a difference.
Right. And for me, I have them taking Juwan Taylor out of Florida. So he's kind of a known quality. He's a known quantity there in Jacksonville as he's the Florida Gator. So Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams. So the Jags are going offensive line. Who's your number eight pick?
My number eight is going to be Juwan Taylor to the Lions.
And mine is it's a mocked up several times. In fact, I kind of went back and forth how they could do, but this makes too much sense. They're going to go get who people believe is the most complete tight end in the draft, who kind of can do it all, in TJ Hockenson out of Iowa. Gives them another weapon offensively to add to Matthew Stafford, especially as they had a really good talented tight end and Eric Ebron, who then thrived somewhere else. They're going to try and do it again.
Yep. And your pick makes sense. And it was one I almost made, and I just kind of changed it at the last minute. And then we agree on one again. I think it's the first one we've agreed. Well, since the 49ers pick.
Right. And so we both for number nine at the Bills, the mini fall of Ed Oliver comes to an end. And he lands with the Buffalo Bills. I'm excited about it, Oliver. I know you and I both are intrigued by him. So if the Cardinals were to trade down, whether it be at four or six, if that were to happen, Ed Oliver would be a really intriguing guy to add to the defensive line. I think he will be good anywhere as long as he is not a Robert Kendici clone in terms of how he plays. He needs to be more disciplined, but we believe he's a much better, more consistent player than Kendici is.
Exactly, and he'll be a guy that can, you know, kind of wreak havoc. I think that would be a huge get for the Bills.
Now for number 10, for me, because the Broncos traded up, is going to be the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you've got the Broncos still. Who's your pick for the Broncos at number 10 to round out the top 10?
I think another off the ball linebacker gets picked in the top 10, which is crazy to me, but that's kind of how this class is. It's kind of crazy. I wouldn't say it's like great. I think that there's talent in a lot of places. And so Devin Bush, the Michigan linebacker, goes and kind of is the, going to be the guy in the middle of that new Vic Fangio defense.
And that he should play really well there as well. For me, the Bucks, they trade back. Todd Bowles is going to want a pass rusher off the edge. I think, you know, if you look at what they have, I almost went Brian Burns here because I know how much they would love to have a speedy guy off the edge. However, I also remember when the Cardinals, when they had Todd Bowles and then James Betcher, they always had bigger 3-4 guys playing on the edge. And so instead, I go with Clemson's Cleveland Farrell, who's a little bit bigger than Burns. He's not the lean, speedy guy, but he played at a high level. And I know Bruce Arians is a big fan of that Clemson program as well. So the top 10 is rounded out with a pass rusher. The third pass rusher comes off the board with Cleveland Farrell at number 10. And that wraps up the top 10. When we come back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, we're going to go through the next 10 picks, 11 through 20. We'll be back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We wrapped up our top 10. So here's how the 10 go for Seth so far. Number one goes Kyler Murray to the Cardinals. Quinnen Williams, number two to the 49ers. The Giants trade up to number three to get Dwayne Haskins. Nick Bosa falls to the Raiders at number four. Devin White taken number five by the Bucks. The Jets take Josh Allen at number six. The Jaguars at seven get tackle Jonah Williams. Then we get Jawan Taylor at number eight for the Lions, Ed Oliver number nine for the Bills, and Devin Bush, linebacker, at number 10 for the Broncos. My picks go Nick Bosa, number one to the Cardinals. Williams is the same pick at number two. Kyler Murray is the pick for the Dolphins, who trade up to number three. Josh Allen to the Raiders. Drew Lock, who the Broncos trade up for, is the quarterback at number five. Devin White to the Giants at six. Jawan Taylor, number seven to the Jags. Tight end TJ Hawkinson to the Lions. Seth and I agree on Ed Oliver at number nine, and number 10, the Bucks, who now have the 10 pick, land Clemson's Cleveland Farrell. We go to the number 11 pick, the Cincinnati Bengals. Who comes off the board for you here?
Much to the chagrin of my friends that are Bengals fans, they picked Daniel Jones, the quarterback out of Duke.
So it's Andy Dalton again, only in the first round, right?
Exactly.
So they give it, they're using a higher. So if they weren't thrilled enough with Andy Dalton, they use a first round pick for him this time. And for me, I know that quarterback could be a possibility here, but instead I have them going offensive line. Jawan Taylor's off the board, and the Bengals will gladly take Jonah Williams off the board here to improve that offensive line, where he's got a little bit of flexibility. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He'll help wherever he's playing.
He will. He will. 100% will. You're right about that. And then we move from the Bengals down to the Packers, who are unusually high, right?
Yep. They sit at number 12, but here I don't have the Packers making a pick. This is where I see the Giants, who traditionally don't trade up in the draft. They now are antsy. And because the Washington Redskins sit at number 15, I have the Giants trading up to number 13. And this is where they get Dwayne Haskins. Who's your pick for the Packers?
My pick for the Packers is TJ Hawkinson. So you had Hawkinson going to the Lions. I have him going to another NFC North team and teaming up with Aaron Rodgers there.
Okay, next pick. You got, for me, it's not the Dolphins, but who's your pick for the Dolphins at number 13? It's going to be the Jets who's swapped picks with the
Dolphins. The Dolphins taking Andre Dillard out of Washington State, fixing their offensive line that is kind of trying to be rebuilt right now.
Okay. And here the Jets are thrilled. DK Metcalf, who's been mocked to the Jets as high as number three. I've seen him in mock drafts. He's the first receiver off the board. DK Metcalf with the Jets teaming up with Sam Darnold gives them a weapon down the field. That'll be fun to watch that they're number 13.
And then, you know, I think that would be a good spot for DK to go. Obviously helping out Sam Darnold and getting a guy that can make plays all over the field like him would be huge.
Okay, next up is the Atlantic Falcons at number 14. We go two different directions. I have them going with the speed off the edge with Brian Burns out of Florida State. It's interesting fit-wise. We'll see how that works out for them, but I think that's a defense that likes speed. Let's give them speed off the edge as well.
And then I have them going with Christian Wilkins, kind of teaming him up with Grady Jarrett on the inside. That gives them a really formidable duo, kind of a run stuffer and then the penetrator that Jarrett is.
Okay, now here we go at number 15 for the Washington Redskins. This is where, for me, the Redskins kind of lose out. They did not make a deal for Josh Rosen in my mock, so they are looking at quarterback, only they got leapfrogged, and so they now will have to settle on Daniel Jones to pair up with Case Keenum. So, yeah, totally. It's not an exciting pick. Who knows? Daniel Jones might be good, but it will not move the meter a whole lot in Washington, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I have them taking Drew Locke. You know, this is one of the interesting things that Jess and I have talked about quite a bit. There's a lot of murmurs and chatter that if Josh Rosen was in this class, he'd be quarterback one or quarterback two. Whether or not he was equal to or slightly below or slightly above Kyler Murray, those seem to be kind of the consensus takes on it. Yet teams are not willing to part with a first round pick, but they're willing to draft Drew Locke and Daniel Jones. I think Jess and I have talked about this, but I think that the media likes Josh Rosen more than the NFL does at this point, and that's just kind of the unfortunate reality of the situation for the Cardinals.
Okay, next pick as we go to number 16 for the Panthers. My initial pick for the Redskins here, because I had them as being they were going to trade for Rosen, so they weren't going to go for the quarterback. I had them taking Marquise Hollywood Brown off the board of 15. The Panthers get him here, and I think they're thrilled. You get Cam Newton, Marquise Brown, who's a legitimate receiver, a game-changing receiver. That is going to be fun to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I have them taking a very kind of Panthers-esque pick, and that's Montez Sweat, defensive end. I know there's some concerns with the heart there, but I think that he's such a talent and a physical specimen, kind of fits that mold of Carolina Panthers defensive ends.
All right, next up, as we go number 17, the Giants. Well, no, for me, it's not the Giants. Who's your pick for the Giants there at number 17? Because for me, it's the Packers.
I have the Giants sticking, and this is where they get their defensive end, Rashawn Gary. Again, Dave Gettleman was in Carolina for a long time. Now he's in New York with the Giants. Rashawn Gary, again, kind of like Montez Sweat, that athlete, that size, speed athlete off the edge. That's kind of what they look for.
For me, we're going to see in my draft, Rashawn Gary and Montez Sweat both fall in this because of the whatever concerns Rashawn Gary recently. He's got a labral tear that he's going to be able to play through his first year, but he'll probably need surgery after his rookie year. So I think that's going to drop him down the boards a little bit. The same thing with the concerns with Montez Sweat. The Packers here, they will add to their offensive line, so they will take Oklahoma's Cody Ford. So that means three Oklahoma players off the board in the first 17 picks. I think Aaron Rodgers should be very pleased with that by adding, and then they're going to be thrilled. So they're going to be as a foreshadow, they're adding another offensive player in the first round. Aaron Rodgers will be really thrilled with who they get in the first round for the Packers.
Yeah, and you know, that's again kind of fixing a problem. It makes sense. The Vikings are next, and you have them definitely making the Mike Zimmer pick, where I have them trying to address the biggest hole on their roster.
Yes, I have them going with the middle of the defense, taking Clemson defensive tackle Christian Wilkins. Mike Zimmer will love it. He knows what to do with defensive tackles, and he's always got good ones. So it will continue to strengthen that defense, which wasn't as good as they were supposed to be last year, which caused them issues for the offensive side of the ball and Kirk Cousins. So you strengthen that defense. You've got Kirk Cousins, but you make a smart pick yourself.
Yeah, I have them taking Chris Lindstrom, the guard out of Boston College, who many Cardinals fans want. You and I like Chris Lindstrom. I just don't think he's going to be there at 33.
I know he's one of the Gambo not five who they consider at number. Of course they would consider Chris Lindstrom at number 33. He's going to be a top 20 pick probably. So that's what we get there at number 18. The Tennessee Titans at number 19. One of your favorite players in the draft, isn't it, that they get?
Yeah, they get Noah Fant. I know they have Delanie Walker there, but this is kind of the
– Delanie Walker's ancient.
Exactly, and Fant's kind of comp is Delanie Walker. So wouldn't it be great to be able to replace Delanie Walker with a new version? Like, you know, something that some teams like to do is prepare for when an older player departs.
Yes, so my guy for the Titans is this edge class is real quality. So we've got another edge guy coming off the board here. It's Jackie Polite, who will help that Tennessee defense a little bit more, give them another threat off the edge. And for the 20th pick, as we round out with the Steelers, we have another pick that converges, and it makes all the sense in the world. You and I both have cornerback Byron Murphy, a local kid to Arizona people, and a guy that never was really reported, but we know that the Cardinals had dinner with him a while ago.
Yeah, and Murphy fits more with what the Steelers do defensively than what like a Vance Joseph would want to do defensively. So I think Murphy being the first corner off the board at 20 is kind of a shock to a lot of people, but this is, you know, maybe not a high-end talent draft in terms of corner, but it has a lot of guys that can be talented corners for a long time.
And that wraps up the 11 through 20. We've got 12 picks to do. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We will finish off the first round. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, and we begin the final third of the first round with the Seattle Seahawks. Who is your guy for the Seahawks, Seth?
So I went with a guy that now the Seahawks just made a trade. So I think that's important. And you would bring this up obviously when they come up to their pick, but they made a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs for the 29th pick. They traded Frank Clark. So they're now have two first round picks. Most of us expect them to trade out of that pick, right? Well, I kind of have them doing that in a different way. I have them taking Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive lineman out of Mississippi State, with that their pick in the first round. I think they're able to grab Simmons, and they're able to kind of make a guy or, you know, kind of fit a guy into their fold as they move forward, but they don't need him this year. And so they're able to get a guy that's going to have to sit a year, but could be a huge impact player on that defensive line.
I have the Seahawks going with Devin Bush, a guy who comes off the board now with the trade of Frank Clark. It is becoming clear that the Seahawks are really building around one player offensively in Russell Wilson, and then it'll probably be Bobby Wagner on the other side of the ball. You need what's worked really well defensively for that team is to go with a Bobby Wagner and a super athletic linebacker next to him in KJ Wright. Plug in Devin Bush, and I think you've got another really good linebacking core there.
Yeah, and you know, Bush is going to be an interesting one to watch and follow along, because where does he fall in this whole thing? I think that's going to be interesting to watch.
Next one, as we go to the Ravens, we go with the same position but different players. Cardinals fans who like a particular center who the Cardinals have met with will be disappointed. But who's your center that the Ravens get?
Eric McCoy, fantastic center, maybe the best one in the draft. I've said before, I think he has the best two games of any player in this draft, going up against Alabama and Clemson this year and stopping two potential first-round picks in Quinton Williams and Dexter Lawrence.
And I have them taking Garrett Bradbury, who is the other guy, arguably the best center in the draft, a guy that reportedly from Gambo said that the Cardinals would definitely consider it number 33, and understandably so, but again, probably a guy that will not be on the board at number 33.
Right. I mean, I would love for them to get any of those guys. It's just hard for them to get them when they're gone. So that brings us to the Houston Texans, and we both agree on the position. I just have to go to a different player.
So who's your guy?
I'm taking Dalton Risner. I think he's a first-round lock. He's going to be a guy that's going to be interesting kind of to see where he plays, because he is a very talented offensive lineman, but is he going to be a guy that ends up on the interior? Is he going to be a guy that ends up on the edge? We'll see where he plays along the offensive line.
Interesting how this plays out for my first round is that the offensive linemen are falling a little bit. I think this is just a result of the pass rushers in the draft. You had the Dolphins taking Andre Dillard, number 14. He's going to go all the way to 23 with the Texans. So you get arguably the best pass blocking tackle in the draft. And you're going to give him, you're going to be able to help Deshaun Watson, who that he will be thrilled to get that talent on his line.
He will, and it's going to be really nice for him to have a little help along there.
The Raiders, for my pick at number 24, they are going to use their second pick on defense. They already landed the edge guy, so they're going to get two premium positions with their first two picks. They got Josh Allen off the edge, and now they're going to add Greedy Williams at cornerback. Byron Murphy already came off the board. Greedy Williams, he really, to me, kind of feels like a Raiders-type player in terms of and he's a player who could – he's really kind of wild card in this first round. You could see him go high. You could see him slip. But I think he will be a really good match for that defense there in Oakland.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I think that could work there. For me, I think they go with a different – corner, just I agree with position DeAndre Baker out of Georgia. Again, just kind of pick your poison and decide what you like better there.
For the Eagles at number 25, who you have them taking an edge? Who do you have them going with?
I do. I have them taking Brian Burns out of Florida State. Kind of a fall for him, but he's a guy that some people like and some people don't. So I'm interested to see kind of where he ends up in this whole process.
Okay, for me, they go safety. This is the only safety I have going in the first round. You get Jonathan Abrams, a guy that one of the safeties that the Cardinals have looked at, and he's a big time player back there. Should really be able to help that Eagles team.
And then you and I both agree with the. Oh, sorry. Nope, next one ahead. Colts is next. So the Indianapolis Colts, kind of the team that everybody wants to aspire to be to right now, that trade down scenario where you get two kind of all pros with two of your top picks, right? And Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard. So I think they're going to continue to build on that defense. And this is where Greedy Williams falls to.
And I have a sad pick for Cardinals fans, as I have them going receiver with N'Keal Harry, the Arizona State star. Put him up with T.Y. Hilton, and you've got lightning with Hilton, and you've got thunder with Harry, who is quite the beast to bring down.
And then the Oakland Raiders. You and I have talked about this. I don't think they make all three of these picks, but if they do, they sit here and they draft the first running back off the board in Josh Jacobs to kind of round out that offense with Derek Carr and Antonio Brown.
Absolutely. So they've already remade their receiving core. Now they got Jacobs at running back. And with the two previous picks of, well, for me, you've got them taking DeAndre Baker and they've got Nick Bosa. So they're the same position. So you've got edge and corner. They got Josh Allen and they get Greedy Williams on my case. And so they add premium positions on defense and then they add, not so premium, but a talent that they can kind of shore up that offense. And that could put them, it won't fix things right away, but it definitely puts them in position to at least not be awful like they were last year.
Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of what you expect, especially, I mean, that was the whole thing. If they're going to trade away talent, right? They better improve.
Absolutely. At number 28 with the Los Angeles Chargers, I have them taking DeAndre Baker. He's now the third corner off the board for me. For you?
I have them going Cody Ford. You had Ford going a little bit earlier to the Packers in a trade down scenario. I think that I think Ford falls a little bit, but he goes to the Chargers and kind of helps in the protection of Phillip Rivers.
The Seahawks picked up a new draft pick at the end of the round, thanks to the trade of Frank Clark. I have them replacing Frank Clark, and this is a guy who's fallen in the draft, Montez Sweat. They pick him up at the end of the first round, and they get a cheaper option off the edge than Frank Clark. Probably not the athlete that Clark is, but definitely can get the production out of them.
And I have the slide of Hollywood Brown.
Please let this not happen.
First wide receiver taken in the draft, Hollywood Brown. Did you see what Daniel Jeremiah said the other day, that he wouldn't be shocked if the only quarterback or running, sorry, geez, wide receiver taken in the first round is Marquise Brown?
I wouldn't be surprised, because I know for DK Metcalf in particular, he's got to be your cup of tea because of what he can do. I know Larry Fitzgerald loves him, but because he isn't nearly as versatile as Brown makes a lot of sense there. And for Cardinals fans, please let this not happen, because Russell Wilson and Marquise Brown, I mean, we're already scared of Tyler Lockett. Marquise Brown is even so much better than that.
Yeah, so that would be a special pairing. Packers, you and I both have them adding a weapon. We just have different weapons.
Correct. I have them taking Noah Fant. So he's the tight end that Seth grabbed for the Titans. And so for me, the Packers have added a tackle, and they have added a tight end. Again, I said Aaron Rodgers would like this pick. He would like both those picks. Who do you have? And I think he would be thrilled with your pick too.
Yeah, and I have him going with DK Metcalf. We just talked about him a little bit. You know, he can be a guy that kind of replaces what Randall Cobb did initially and then expands his game from there. So we'll see how that works out.
Number 31 with the Rams, we both have with it's in the middle of the offense, in the middle of the defense, but I have them bolstering the defensive line, replacing Ndamukong Suh with the big and athletic Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson.
Yeah, and I have Cardinals fans being extremely upset about this, as Garrett Bradbury almost falls to them, but doesn't quite, and gets snapped up by a rival.
And the final pick of the first round for me, for the Patriots, this is the end of the fall for Rashawn Gary. The Pats steal him up with the 32nd pick in the first round, a guy who has a lot of potential, and I could see the Patriots getting a lot of production out of him.
Yeah, and that would make sense because they just lost Trey Flowers. I have them going a little bit different route, something that we haven't seen them do before. And don't be surprised if for some reason Daniel Jones falls to this spot, that is a spot that Daniel Jones has picked. I've even seen people start talking about Valley product Ryan Finley being picked there. I don't think that happens, but if Daniel Jones was to fall, that could be that could be something to watch out for. But I have them going AJ Brown. So another one of the Gambo 5 off the board. So four of the five of the Gambo five would be off the board for the Cardinals at the first pick. For me, for you, AJ Brown would be the only one. For me, N'Keal Harry would be the only one. So that is, you know, that's kind of what we expect, right? Like maybe, yeah, maybe one of those five to be there, and it maybe where none of the five are available.
Very, very possible. And that, Cardinals fans, wraps up the entire first round. Now, by the time you listen, hopefully you listen to this before the draft, because then you could say, oh, those sound good. Because if you listen to it after the draft, you're going to be thinking, what morons were these guys? Or maybe we hit on a few, because, you know, Mark Dalton, the VP of media relations for the Cardinals, always loves to bag on the mock draft, saying the average is two or three, with the best being eight picks. And that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Our next show, we will break down the draft picks that the Cardinals make. Thanks for listening. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.